Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Summertime. We're halfway through summer, actually, believe it or not.
We are?
Just about, man. Hey, man, we're almost in the middle of July right now.
Yeah, we're about a third of the way.
Yeah. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. And, of course, happy Saturday to all of you. In the room today, I'm looking across my good buddy, Mr. Blue Eyes himself, Mr. Steve Silva.
Hey, what's happening?
And I am Sean Roberts, and this is your Weekly Dose podcast.
And we thank you for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new, Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun and laughing.
That's right, laughing and things that we're experiencing every day, like right now, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, the fun things. Even the naughty things.
Yes, you know, the things that connect all of us, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you are a part of the show and join the conversation. And you can do it in several ways. Like, for example, comment on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Send a message via Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or if you want to send us a personal message, you can email us at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a pretty cool show for you guys today, and it's going to be a little bit busy. We'll be talking to Tina Anderson. She's going to be giving us her dose of wisdom about 10:15. We also got horoscopes, funny 4th of July tweets, our favorite 4th of July memories, fun facts for Pina Colada Day, and today's topic basically is also having your kids pay rent. Is it the right thing to do? Is it the wrong thing to do? Depends on your point of view, and we'll talk about it later on.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you are on the go, you can subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify. Just search for Your Weekly Dose, and most importantly, tell the world what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Yes, and today's theme song is... Oops, where did I put it? Oh, there it is, up there. I forgot where I have it. Summertime by Danny Wilde and the Rembrandts. If you haven't had a chance to listen to this group, these are the same guys who wrote the theme song to the theme of Friends, basically. So that's who they are.
Oh, they wrote.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be there for you. Yeah, exactly. So this is Danny Wilde. I'm kind of doing a solo album here. Great songwriter. He's from L.A. His partner, Phil, I think, is from the Philadelphia area, I believe. Can't remember. But, together they kind of formed the Rembrandts, and this is one of the songs here called Summertime. So remember that all you have to do is go to our website and click on our Amazon banner and basically bookmark it, and that way you can buy all the music that we play, including this song called Summertime by Danny Wilde and the Rembrandts. There you go. Have you listened to any of their stuff by chance, Steve, or no, just... Or just heard of the theme song and that's it?
Yeah, I didn't really listen to them.
They're one of those where they have a nice, real cult following kind of thing, because their music is very much like a pop, rockish kind of thing.
Right.
And also we're, because Danny's out, like I said, Danny was a musician out here, and I actually discovered him by being a solo artist and didn't realize that he was part of the Rembrandts until years later.
Oh.
And I caught him on a TV show with his partner, Phil Solomon, and I'm going, wait a minute, that looks like the same guy of those two CDs that I have. And sure enough, it was. And I went, oh, okay, all right, you know. And actually, I got Danny's records off of remember back when there was Warehouse Records,
mm-hmm.
and they had the used bin, basically, the used CDs. And that's where I discovered him, was in the used bin. And I just kind of looked at it and kind of went, oh. Well, this guy looks interesting. I wonder what his music might sound like. Listen to it going, oh, this is kind of cool. It's like a California pop thing, almost similar to that of the Nelson Brothers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, okay. Brought it home, fell in love with the guy, and found out those are the only two records that he did because he created the Rembrandts, which I had no idea that he did that.
I see, yeah.
So, and... So
did the Rembrandts have more albums?
Yes, they do. Yeah. They do. And then Danny just did some stuff recently, too, where he put out another solo album, another, like, a live EP out and everything. And he's a really good songwriter. I would love to get him and talk with him. He's really good. Really, really
cool.
Good. So, oh, my gosh, my papers. We got the fan going on, so my papers are flying everywhere right now. So, well, what time we got? We got six after. You know, let's catch up real quick.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do.
So we've been gone for 2 weeks now, you and I.
Yeah.
And
feels odd.
Feels a little bit odd. A couple of changes here with the show, too. One of them we'll announce right now. Our producer, Zach, got picked up more by iHeartRadio. And so he's working there more and more and more, so which we're very proud of. So he decided to move on from the show and kind of do that full time, which we encouraged him to do anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that he's always wanted to do, is be an on-air personality. I couldn't be more proud of him overall.
Yeah, it's great. He's got a long ways to climb. He's so good. He's lots of possibilities.
Yeah, and his talents are pretty much, as far as I'm concerned, are endless. He is a wonderful voiceover guy. And through our show here, he's had a chance to meet, I think, three or four of his heroes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And, you know, a couple who have become friends of ours, actually, which is kind of nice. And I couldn't be more proud of him to move on. And I know he was kind of going back and forth with it and everything, but I'm like, no, dude, go.
Yeah.
Go. He's this is your career you're talking about. You're going to get paid, finally. Yeah. You know, kind of a thing. So go off and get paid. And so we wish him the best. With iHeart.
Definitely.
And, you know, he started off doing the traffic, and he's up in the plane that time and everything. And I still give him kudos for that. I could never do that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Buddy Holly special? No.
Yeah. I have a friend that's a flight attendant, you know, it's always in the back of your mind, you know, even though it's the safest way to travel, and there's, you know, not a lot happening when it...
See, commercial flights, I don't mind as much. It's the small Cessnas, you know? Small Cessnas and musicians don't go together. Yeah, exactly. Wait, do that again? There you go, there's our Cessna. They don't. I mean, should I start off? You know, let's start.
Well, yeah, there's a whole
list of people.
Yeah.
You know, Randy Rhoads, Jim Croce, need I say more, Richie Valens, the Big Bopper, Buddy Holly. Oh, they were all in the same plane. You think I'm going to flip a coin? Hell no.
Oh, no.
No. I'm taking the bus.
Hey, there's three seats and four of us. You guys have a good flight.
Yeah. I'd rather take the train.
Yeah.
You know, give me Amtrak. I'll let them do the driving, you know. But I praise him for that, to getting into that small plane and doing the traffic, you know, in whatever hours he's doing. Sometimes it's real early in the morning. Sometimes he's doing the traffic at night at his house or whatever. But whenever they need him, he's there for him, which is good. So
yeah.
We're very happy for him. Couldn't be more pleased of him continuing his career and doing the things that he wants to do, basically. So congratulations, buddy. We're happy for you. Because it's so good. He's moving on. Yeah, so anyway, so there you go.
That was very inspiring.
You like that, huh?
I'm like, yeah. It's
like, shit, hey, maybe I want to do traffic now.
Yeah, whoa, yeah. I don't mind flying.
No, oh, well, commercial plane, I'm okay. Cessnas, no. Musicians and Cessnas, I'm still sticking to that, man.
When I was doing business, we had to go up to Idaho, Boise, and... The programmer I took with me to help me out there was a little afraid of flying, and we ended up coming back from Boise through Salt Lake City. Well, the flights from Boise was a little, you know, 10-passenger, 2-engine job, and we landed in Tooele and something Falls, Idaho Falls, something, and we had two landing and takeoffs before we got to Salt Lake City.
Oh, jeez.
And his knuckles were just white. He was holding the thing as hard as he could.
I think the most time I've ever been scared on an airplane, and I've flown since I was a kid. I mean, the first time that I can recall being on an airplane, I was 5 years old, four or five, somewhere around there. It was my first trip to Hawaii.
Ah.
Okay, so, you know, no big deal, right? I went to Nashville a number of years ago. Well, you have to fly in, I think, was it to Dallas or Houston or whatever first? And it was a regular commercial plane, you know, three seats this way, three seats that way.
Yeah.
Nice size commercial train.
Yeah.
Then you take what they call a hopper.
Oh, yeah.
It's one seat here and two seats aisle and then two seats. And I'm thinking, we're on the tarmac and they're saying, okay, ready to take off, blah, blah, blah. I feel like going, do I need to go out and push or something?
does it need help?
You know? And then we're pretty much at, you know, the flying altitude, whatever it is, you know, 3,000 feet or two. Are we allowed to go this high in this small plane?
It's like being in a cigar tube.
Yeah. Oh, my God. I that was the most nervous I've ever been in on a commercial flight. Yeah. You know, so.
Well, when I started going into biz, I went to work as a marketing manager in a computer company, and I was traveling a lot. And I got to the point where I just get on the plane and fall asleep before we even took off. Because it's like getting on the freeway every morning. I was getting on a plane, you know, every week. So it's nice when you're used to it because...
You're used to it.
Yeah, you're calm and everything. If you're not used to it, it's very nerve-wracking.
It can be. It can be for some people. Yeah. Especially if you haven't done it in a long time, too. So, yeah, I totally get that. So, but overall, how was the last couple of weeks for you, though?
Okay. Not too bad.
A little bit of relaxing?
Yeah. We did something fun Wednesday night. What night did we go to Dallas?
Oh, yeah. We've actually got a lot to talk about.
Eileen. We went and saw Eileen.
Aileen.
And the Leaping Lizards. So that was really fun. They sounded really good.
Her band did, is amazing. And we're talking about our friend Aileen Quinn. And if you're wondering, who in the heck is this person? She is the cute, gorgeous redhead who plays the title role in the film Annie. She was a young girl at that time. It was a nationwide search, and she got the role, and she got to play alongside Bernadette Peters, and also with Carol Burnett and Tim Curry. So
that's really cool.
You know, first major role kind of a thing, you know, and that's what you go with. So yeah, so Wednesday night we were there. Her band was playing down in Irvine. So anytime they're in Orange County, we always go down and support. And it's a rockabilly band, and a lot of swing dancers were there, man. They were just going
along. I even ended up dancing. Some woman came over and asked me to dance, and I was like, at first I was like, oh, man, with my knee, you know, I was talking to her, and I said, well, you know, I kind of half crippled. I mean, she sat down and yeah. we started talking, and I thought, why would I say no?
Right.
So I said, you know, if you don't mind me just sort of standing there and faking it.
And shaking my hips.
Yeah, and she goes, that's fine, that's great, great. So I went out and danced and stuff, did a little, yeah. few of the swing moves and stuff that I learned when I was 12. So it was a lot of fun. But again, the music was really cool. It's just it was very exciting. And, of course, she's very... I guess that's why she got Annie, is because she's very outgoing, bubbly, and, you know, it shows in some of her, in the things she sings.
Yeah. Oh, she's got a great voice.
Really good, yeah.
She's got a great voice.
So, yeah.
And I mean, it projects, and then with the microphone, it even boosts it even more, so.
And I got to say, I was surprised at all the old people there.
There were a lot of older.
Isn't this kind of dance young people do?
Yeah.
Apparently not.
And luckily, a few hips did not go out, so that was good.
I know.
I think they all had their new ones with them and everything, so.
We didn't have to pick anybody up off the floor.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know who's a real good swing dance partner, too, though?
Would it be Tina?
It would be Tina Anderson. Of course, and we got her on with our dose of wisdom.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do now? Here's a little tip. Word to the wise. Here's a little snippet of advice. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do now?
Miss Anderson, how are you?
Tina.
Hey, I'm good, and I am sitting on my couch in my office with a brand new member of the family. Her name is Luna.
Hi, Luna.
We just adopted her a couple days ago. She's 4.5 months old, and I've got my hands full. So I am just going to preload up this short segment with the fact that I've got a puppy next to me that has already grabbed my tennis shoes, pulled down a plant, is now grabbing my pillow.
Oh, my God.
She is totally, but she is the sweetest thing, and there's nothing like a pet, an animal. Yeah.
What breed is she?
Bring love. She is a mix. She is a lab, mainly lab, and then German short-haired pointer.
Oh, wow.
And a little bit of Great Dane in her.
Ooh.
So she's, and she's definitely, I've always adopted, but this is the most puppy adoption we've ever done. So she is pure, still puppy mode, and but it's really fun. Aww. And it's comical. You just have to laugh when she, you know, makes a mess of things, because it's toddler.
Yeah.
You have a toddler in your house.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And absolutely. So, but we're loving her so much, and they named her Morgan, which I was thinking, no, Morgan? Is this like a dog name to you guys?
Morgan?
Not really. No. So I said, no, she's mainly black. She's a little white on her. And so I was looking for goddess, like goddess names, and then La Luna, you know, with the nighttime. And so Luna made sense. So anyway, yeah. So if you do hear her in the background, I'm trying to keep her calm right now because Kirk's not here to grab her. But anyway, how are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah.
It's the two of us today, though. But we are doing excellent. And,
good.
Still,
you guys are talking about swinging. I didn't know you guys were into that kind of thing.
Oh, I am.
I did years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it swing dancing is so much fun and everything. And there were a lot of, I would say there was probably about maybe 150, 200 people there at least of all ages.
Yeah. Well, we got there like just after she started.
Yeah.
And there were like maybe 40, 50 people there.
And then it just doubled by the time.
Suddenly it just went whoosh.
It's like word got out and everybody came out to, you know, hear the band play.
Well, yeah. And you know what? I'm glad you clarified the swinging aspect, because if you just said we are into swinging, then you might be careful with that, because it might get some interesting. We got approached once because we were at a restaurant that for a while had this notorious, I don't know if it was true, but we certainly got approached. This, it was known for, was it Friday nights, that if you dressed in pure white with your partner, that you were in swinging, which we did not know.
And right.
It wasn't me and my husband, it was me and it was three girls. And we had talked about wearing white and getting a picture, and we were all in white. And we really did get some odd nods and thumbs up. And we thought, Oh, because we're all in white.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then someone else later said, you guys went Friday night, you dressed in white, all white? Well, yeah. We didn't know. So anyway, I don't know if that was true, but it felt like there could be something going on there. So.
Well, you are a good-looking lady, so I would say take that as a compliment overall.
All right.
And just swing with it.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. So
Tina, what words of wisdom do you have for us today, darling?
All right. Well, you know, the two messages that came through for me just before I jumped in, one of them was to remind you guys, not when I say you guys, I mean your listeners and everyone,
right,
is that the universe, the world, everybody around you can only really see you as you see yourself. And I think that sometimes we get caught up on what we're wearing, how we look, whatever, how much weight we need to lose or you know, just what kind of car we drive or the job we have. All those things are 3D living. That's all the things that are very normal, and that's part of life. That's just how we're made up. I get that. But if you want to really shift the energy and frequency around yourself and the way people react to you, it is understanding that you're a mirror and a reflection, and as you see yourself, that is how the world and other people will see you, because they feel and sense your frequency and energy before you even get in the room. So, you know, it's like if you've ever gone somewhere and you get a sense about something or someone, or you walk into a room and you can sort of feel the energy. You just feel you're in a house maybe and it feels good in there, and that's completely legitimate, because our energy is out in front of us and our heart frequencies are connecting in like, come here, Luna, are connecting from, she's grabbed my bookmarker. No, are connecting from literally, I think I read 500 or 600 yards minimum. You can actually connect to someone's heart frequency if you're open.
Really?
And yeah, the heart frequency is very, 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 the electromagnetic frequency of the heart is extremely strong, and we don't understand that. Well, if you think about that, the second part of what came through was just being open to love, and there was a strong indication of being of just saying to the message that, are you blocking love? Are you holding back anywhere? Are you preventing people from really jumping into your sphere, into your, you know, your inner circle, because of being scared about what they might find out about you, or they won't love you that much, or that, you know, we all have warts, maybe physically, really, but you know, we all have wounds and warts. That's normal. But it came through just to remind everyone that we're in charge of that too, of being lovable, but being open to accepting love. And we often block it. We shield ourselves. And part of that is because we maybe just don't feel like maybe I'm deserving of that, or if I do this first, then I'm worthy. If I get this together, then, you know, then if I do this, then that. And the message is, no, you start from the inside first, and you realize that you're a child of God. We all are. And we're made of divine, pure, positive energy, even though it doesn't always look that way or feel that way.
Right.
And just start by remembering that first and see how people and doors open to you, for you, and around you as you shift that energy. It really, it will happen, and then you just have to pay attention to it. And it really will. It really will.
Tina, I know this is going to be a difficult question to answer and to sum up in as little words as possible, but why do people in general have a tendency to feel that I'm not worthy? What is it that prevents us from doing those type of things?
Yeah, that's a great question, and primarily it is it's a pattern in childhood that listen, we're parents, right? We're all parents. We're doing the best we can. We can't help but not F up our kids here and there a little bit, because we're human. So
right,
we do the best we can, right? But there is a moment, a pivot, a shift, or a consistent message or something that comes through usually that shuts down a part of you from really fully embracing who you are and feeling that, and feeling the self-worth. It could be the smallest of thing. It could be some bullshit thing in kindergarten or in grade school or even in high school that really starts to turn that spivot on, where all of a sudden you're thinking, well, yeah, I'm not worthy because of what someone said. Or it could be someone just saying, gosh, you have big ears. Well,
I went
right
through
there.
I went through that.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
Well, I didn't know. Did you? Really? Yeah. I don't even know. But so, well, there you go. Yeah. I must have been meant to say that because you dealt with that. But little things like that, they add up. And then we don't, as kids, we are dealing with stuff the best way we can. And so we find a way to comfort ourselves. And if we're not getting the support and our parents don't know, or we don't have parents, or there's, you know, addiction in the house, or codependency, or alcoholism, whatever, then we find a way. And the way that we find, the way that we do that is usually shutting something down, not letting something in, and putting it to the side. But then it shows up later in the way that your life, the way you live your life, and then you have to go in and just kind of clean that up. And that, I found that to be true, even in people that say, oh, I can't think of anything. And then as we kind of go back and say, let's make sure we've cleaned out everything. When I used to do a lot of coaching, that's counseling, therapy, and coaching is the present moment and the future. But counseling and therapy is figuring out the past, right?
Right.
And so I would always find, and I'll just give you an example, and then that would be my answer, is one of my clients kept saying, telling me she had the best childhood. No, my parents were really loving. It was great. And then finally we got down to, yeah, well, there was a situation where my dad had a woman on the side, and we used to cook dinner with my mom. I cooked dinner with my mom, and we would go take them food on Sunday because he spent the day with her. She was like a mistress, and it was acceptable. My mom accepted it. Mm-hmm. And I said, you don't think that affected you, that you watched your, I mean, you know, you didn't have, no, wait, what? So that one,
were they wearing white at the time?
Exactly. But I mean, really think about it. You're like, the whole time you're growing up thinking you had this great childhood, and then when you finally realize that you're going after men that don't treat you well, and you watched your mom make food for her husband's mistress and deliver it every Sunday and accept that he did, and he just, that was the way the life was going to be with them. You don't think that there wasn't a part of her that felt like, what's, my mom's not really worthy of this, if this is going on. So anyway, it can be really insidious, but that's usually what happens. It's usually something or someone, some incident, and that picks away at it. It picks away a little bit.
The reason why I asked that question is when I used to work at Guitar Center, I would get a lot of people who would say, you know, well, I'm looking to get a brand new guitar, and I'm going, okay, great. You know, and of course I always try to qualify them as a salesperson and ask them, well, you know, how much are you looking to invest? And they say, oh, well, you know, prices doesn't matter. So sometimes as a joke, I walk them over to, like, you know, the $5,000 Martin guitar, and they go, well, I can't afford that. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, I thought you said price was didn't matter, you know.
I said, money is no object.
Yeah, and then they go, oh, well, I'm just looking to spend like $100.
Yeah.
And then I kind of ask them, well, why something so inexpensive? You know, wouldn't you have something that you'd rather grow into versus grow out of?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of them just felt, because they were brand new, that they didn't deserve something that was maybe even $300 or $400. That would be a good quality instrument for them that would last them, you know, 10 years, 15 years, whether it was a hobby or not. And, you know, and I always kind of equated it to like driving a car and saying, well, look, when you first drive a car, do you go out and buy a go-kart and drive that on the street? No, you go out and you buy a real car.
Yeah.
You know, so why spend so little money on something, you know, because there was automatically this self-doubt that was built in for whatever reason, that they didn't deserve a good quality instrument.
Interesting.
You know, and so that's why I asked that question, you know, what kind of brings that up? And I think with it could be something, like you said, from their childhood that they never thought about, that they were deserving of something that nice.
They could have heard something. Sorry for just to interrupt. They could have heard. Well, you can get that to, well, when you get a little bit older, when you work harder, when you do this. So there's stipulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just like, no, I'm going to grow into this. No, I've always, you know, so then that's a pattern. And the parents aren't trying, or whoever the guardian, they're not trying to cause any ripple effect. But just like with my poverty mindset that I had to get out of, and we had plenty of money, and my dad grew up in abject poverty, as in no running water. I mean, built, you know, one of those, And so he used to always say, we don't have enough money for that. We don't have enough money. Well, we did, but that's the way he said, I'm not sure I want to spend money on that. I'm very cautious. Had he said it differently, I, you know, and doesn't matter. I totally love my dad, you know, rest in peace. And I'm not upset about that. I'm just saying that I recognize later that in my mind, I always thought, you guys, no matter what we were doing, I don't know if we have enough money. I don't think we have enough money. What if my kid gets sick? I had this ticker tape going from what I heard, and it infiltrated everything.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and it was a simple thing. It's just his way of saying it, even though that's not really what he meant, but that's the best way that he could say it, because he was fearful of losing if he ever lost everything, because he knew what it was like to have no
right.
zero money. So, yeah, it can be as simple as that. So I'm sorry I interrupted, but I think it's a good it's a good parallel to what you were saying, is it doesn't even have to be a terrible thing. It could just be a pattern, a tribal pattern within your upbringing.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we want to just know, bottom line, you know, the universe, people will see you as you see yourself. So it starts with you. And when you're feeling down, you're like, okay, I'm feeling down. Maybe I'm not feeling good about myself right now, but that's not who I am. That's how I feel. It's how I feel. It's not who I am. And I know that I have a big heart. I know I'm generous. Whatever it is you want to tell yourself. And I'm going to put that frequency out. And I'm going to get up and, you know, and just walk into my day understanding that we're all one. And we all bumps and bruises. And there are days when people that look like they're really on top of the world are not.
Right. Right.
And I mean, we can usually feel that sometimes with people, too. And so it starts with that and just really believing in that and then saying to yourself, what am I blocking? Is it a mindset? Is it an upbringing thing that I haven't identified? Because the message was very clear to bring in more love and to be an open channel for that. And expect it. Wait for it. Enjoy it. Because it's there waiting for you to fill your life.
It kind of reminds me. There was a thing I saw, a cartoon sketch or whatever recently, where it's this avocado. And he's in the bathroom and he's looking in the mirror. And he says, "You're fat, but you're a good fat."
That's great.
You know,
it's all right. It's all perspective here. It's all relative because, avocado. Well, it really is. I'm telling you, it's just a simple thing, but it's so important, because if you do feel icky, ugly, fat, whatever, and you walk into a networking room or you walk into a business opportunity or you're trying to find your soulmate and you carry that energy, you know, then you are going to attract someone with the same issue, and then the two of you are together with issues, and that's not really how you want to do it. You want to be in your full self and attract somebody at the same frequency, which is higher, you know, that higher frequency, and grow together.
If you want to attract a group of people, wear white on Fridays.
And if you want it, and if you want that kind of special swinging that isn't just on the dance floor, then apparently in some places, maybe on a Friday night, you wear all white.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to have to go shopping. I don't have anything white.
You don't have anything. Oh, yeah. You're going to have to go to the store and get all white.
Yeah. But you got to do it before Labor Day, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess there's no swinging after Labor Day.
No, there isn't. Tina, we always love to have you on, darling. It's always good to hear your voice.
All right, good. So nice to talk to the two of you, and rock on, you guys. I know you're rocking the show, so I appreciate any time to share some time with you guys and wisdom, and I will catch you next month.
Sounds good, darling. You take care of yourself,
thanks.
And enjoy that new puppy.
Too. I am. Thank you.
All right, take care.
Exactly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What you gonna do, what you gonna do, what you gonna do, what you gonna do now? Here's a little tip, word to the wise. Here's a little snippet of advice. What you gonna do, what you gonna do, what you gonna do, what you gonna do now?
Oh, but you know, she's right. It's all perspective. You know, you gotta look.
Yeah.
Recently, I was feeling down. You knew about it or whatever. But, you know, through certain things and aspects or whatever, and friendship like yours and Tina's, and able to pick myself back up and go,
Dust yourself off.
Dust yourself off, man, and get back to it. You know, and that's just it. It's like, we could all adjust and do better in here and there, but it's all that mindset first.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that mindset and going, no matter what, we're going to move forward. Bottom line, period.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know. And it always reminds me of the speech that Rocky gives in Balboa.
Yeah, Rocky Balboa. That's such a great scene.
It is. It really is. You know, let me see if I can find it real quick here. Let's see. Let me jump on. Here we go.
So you're nervous about the fight?
They're scared to death.
You don't look scared?
Well, you ain't supposed to.
Then you don't have to do it.
Yeah, well, I think I do.
You know, living with you, it hasn't been easy. People see me, but they think of you. Now with all this going on, this is going to be worse than ever.
It don't have to be.
No, sure it does.
Why? You got a lot going on, kid.
Oh, well, my last name? That's the reason I got a decent job. That's the reason why people deal with me in the first place. Now I start to get a little ahead. I start to get a little something for myself. And this happens. Now I'm asking you as a favor not to go through with this, okay? This is only going to end up bad for you, and it's going to end up bad for me.
You think I'm hurting you?
Yeah, in a way you are.
It's the last thing I ever wanted to do.
I know that's not what you want to do, but that's just the way that it is. Don't you care what people think? Doesn't it bother you that people are making you out to be a joke and that I'm going to be included in that? Do you think that's right? Do you?
Here he comes, folks. Greatest speech ever.
You ain't going to believe this. Well, you used to fit right here. I'd hold you up and say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching you. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you gotta be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you wanna be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I'm always gonna love you no matter what. No matter what happens. You're my son, you're my blood. You're the best thing in my life. But until you start believing in yourself, you ain't gonna have a life. Don't forget to visit your mother.
Coming from someone,
oh God,
who knows? I mean, you read the story about Sylvester Stallone and what he went through and stuff, and that's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't stop because eventually you will do it. But you have to have, like he says, you have to make yourself do it. You have to believe in yourself. You have to not worry about what other people think.
Yeah, it's true, you know. And it's funny because, you know, my dad was one of my greatest heroes. You know, I always looked up to my dad, and thank God my father and I had a beautiful relationship, you know. And you know, it's been 13 years that my dad's been gone, 12-13 years, and I still miss him to this day. And but that passion, that love that Rocky gives to his son, you know, it's, I hear my dad. And the thing is that with that too, the tables got turned with my dad and I, because he saw me never quitting at certain things, whether it be my music or even acting or whatever, but mainly my music. He goes, no matter how many doors got shut in your face, no matter how many times people said no, no matter how many times people said, oh, well, your music sucks or whatever, you didn't care. You kind of gave those people the finger and you moved on.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah. He goes, now I look up to you.
Oh, that's cool.
Because of that.
Yeah.
Because you kept moving forward no matter what. You took all these hits or whatever, and you still found joy in the thing that you do, which is creating music. You know? And I think if my dad was here right now, he would be happy to listen to this podcast. You know, all the stuff that we've done from day one to now, and goes, hey, yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, maybe it's time to change. Yeah, maybe it's funny this, and I don't know about that one or whatever, but I liked it. You know, hey, that was a good interview or whatever. Yeah. You know, that would be my father.
Yeah.
You know, that would be my dad. You know, and I think the whole thing that I find ironic is that of all the wonderful speeches of motivation out there, it comes from a guy who talks like this.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, and beautifully done.
There's
beautifully done.
Very few times in film where a scene reaches that level of just inspiration and love and, you know, the quality and saying something concisely that is just never wrong. It's always true.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I try to live that, and that's now something that I try to teach my son. You know, people aren't going to like your singing. People aren't going to like this. It's okay. You take the hits and you keep moving forward. Just like, you know, we have our own audience with this show. We're going to do this show a certain way because of who our mentors are.
Right.
And how we do it. That has been from day one, and we're not going to step aside from that. We may rearrange things here and there from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
But the heart of the show is, this is who we are. This is what we do, you know, and that's not going to change. Some people are going to like us. Some people aren't. And that's fine, you know. And if people come up to you and go, I don't know, that was that funny. You know what? Then don't listen to us then.
Yeah.
There are thousands of other podcasts out there that you can listen to.
Well, that's true.
That might be more politically correct or less blue. You know,
or more blue,
or more blue, or more perverse, or less perverse, or whatever. You know, we're going to be in this room doing what we want to do, and you're welcome to join in with us. Bottom line, you know, you don't like it, you know, because times are changing, and this, fuck that, move on to somebody else.
Changing,
then.
Yeah.
You know, because you're too scared of something else. You know, because to say, oh well, that used to be funny. Funny's funny. I don't care what anybody says. You know, I can sit here, you and I can sit here and watch an Abbott and Costello film.
Yeah.
It's an 80-year-old film. It was funny then. It's funny now.
Yep.
You don't go, well, that used to be funny or whatever. What, you grew up? You stopped becoming Peter Pan?
Yeah. What happened?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm 51. I'm still a kid at heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You've seen me at the freaking train store. How excited do I get?
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, or walk into a toy store or something or whatever. And it's like, oh, I want to get that.
Yeah, it's like me in the Lego aisle.
Yeah.
I can't buy Legos because I would want to buy all of them.
Oh, God, and they're way too much money, man.
Oh, I know. They're so expensive. And now, there was a Harry Potter series exclusive to Target just came out.
Uh-huh.
It's like $1,000 to get, you know.
That's what's really funny about Legos. They'll jump from like $15.
Yeah.
And go, oh, I can get that one. That's kind of cool, whatever. And then you look at the smallest play set, $35. Wait a minute. How in the hell did that just double?
And some of these play sets are like hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
Or more. So, it's pretty interesting.
It is. It is. Hey, should we do some horoscopes?
Okay.
If you like doing horoscopes?
Oh, I live for it.
You live for it. All right, here we go. All right, so let's see here. You got the first one there.
I get Gemini.
That'd be me, because you know, there's only two of us in the room right now. So
I was looking around going, all right, who's Gemini? Where are Okay.
It ain't intern Christopher, I'll tell you that.
Well, here we go. You have a sharper mind and more clarity for the first time in weeks with your ruler Mercury returning to normal speed this month, Gemini.
That's because...
Gemini. It remains in your zodiac sign until July 11th, helping you articulate what was amiss before.
Well, we did have a few weeks off, so had some time to clear out the cobwebs.
Things have been amiss, all right. Yeah. Also, with fiery Mars igniting your solar third house of communication all month, you're ready to declare the most important messages within your soul to the world.
Ooh. I'm going to bury it all, bitch.
There you go. Use the energy to persuade the audiences before you something. What is that? Before you that your idea. Okay, I'll try different. Use the energy to persuade the audiences before you that your ideas are the ones with promise. You could also be especially focused on launching a writing, speaking, advertising, or social media initiative at this time.
Huh. I wonder if I should start a podcast.
Yeah, why don't we do a podcast?
Yeah, well, that'd be a good idea.
I've never done one before. It might be fun.
Who knows?
No matter how, seek to integrate more ideas and wisdom into your inner world. Some Geminis might decide it's time to return to school, while others may see the arrival of their first published work. With your mind so active, you could find yourself especially inspired. And to end the month, benevolent Jupiter, who has sat perched at the top of your chart bringing professional success in recent weeks, once again dips his toes back into the same solar ninth house beginning July 28th. Boy, it's like suddenly somebody new is writing the horoscope. Use the time before this to evaluate your professional goals and how you can soar even higher.
Edibles. Let's see. Are you a Taurus? No, you're not a Taurus.
No, I'm not. No.
I don't. Aries?
Not a bull. No.
Aries? No, full of bull, but no. Yeah,
I'm full of bull.
Not Aries. Okay,
so I'm kind of an airhead at times.
Yeah. Okay. You're not an Aries.
No, I've got more sting in me than that.
That's true. But you're a Scorpio, though.
That would be correct.
Good, because I have that here with me right now.
So it says, what a coincidence.
I know, isn't that that piece of paper? Reach for the stars, dude. Actually, that's what it says. Reach for the stars, Scorpio. Powerhouse Mars continues to propel you into the limelight.
What the hell is the limelight? Is that a light on a lime sitting there? And you want to just get in the way? And I don't know.
I've never understood the limelight either, though. But we are on Lime City Radio, though. I know that. That's which is a good thing. So maybe that's the limelight they're talking about.
That could be the correct analysis.
Yeah. How you doing, Indianapolis? All right. You could be tackling major projects and initiatives this month, as well as seeing awards, recognition, and promotions for previous hard work. Wait a minute. You've been retired way too long. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Now, if you aren't happy with your current place in your industry, use this time to change direction. How's that feel?
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
Okay, good. The new moon on July 9th could open a doorway for you to soar to new direction, opening your mind to endless new possibilities. Academic initiatives, media projects, immigration plans.
Am I going to immigrate somewhere?
Wow. Or traveling pursuits could all become important at this time. Use this period to take action on these areas. So, hey, you never know. Now, Venus does move into your solar 11th house, ensuring you that you could attend some dazzling events, like, you know, with Aileen Quinn.
Yes.
And have quite a bit of fun in the weeks ahead. Another point to watch this month is a full moon in your solar 4th house. You got a lot of homes, dude. Of domestically on the 23rd. This lunation, remember we had fun with that word. Lunation. Is the first of back-to-back full moons in Aquarius, which could bring in culminary to a home or family situation. As the planets clash at this time, though, disheartening news may appear. I think you've already had that. No matter what happens, step up and handle it, dude. I think you are.
Yeah.
So... All right. So now that's the two of us here. And of course, we always try to do this month's horoscopes also. So this month it is Cancer. So for all the people out there who are cancer, not who have it, but who are cancer, there's a big difference there. Huge difference.
Yes, there is.
Yes. Let's see. It says here, now the time is to stand on your power and show the world that you're a star in your own right. That's pretty
Ding.
Good. There you go. There you go. Exactly. And just to let you guys know, there are auditions next week at Knott's Berry Farm. Just to let you know, I'm not going to tell you about what because we want to get the job. All right. Your solo return is the most important time of year to set goals, create intentions, and take actions to make new patterns for the year ahead. The loveliest new moon in the year arrives around July 9th, falls within your zodiac sign, and spotlights your personal hopes. So use time to put yourself first. Feisty Mars continues to power through your financial sector all month, increasing your focus on money matters. So you got to be careful with that. While this could cause your expenses to skyrocket, it can also give you a strong impetus to budget and work toward more prosperity. So in other words, if you're not good with money, now is a good time to really balance your checkbook.
If it balances.
If it balances, yeah. Otherwise, you're going to be in the red, buddy. Okay, next to the note. This month, the arrival of the full moon in your solar 8th house on July 23rd. This is the first, again, we talked about this with Steve, the back-to-back full moons in Aquarius, and turning point has arrived. Your intimate needs and balance in your relationship will be discussed. Hmm. So, if I guess you've got a boyfriend, girlfriend, or significant other, basically you need to talk about your relationship for whatever reason. This could also bring news about large sum of money, perhaps the form of debt, loan, scholarship, venture capital, royalty check, or settlement. However, with the planets clashing with this full moon, there could be some disappointing news around this area, too. So I guess bottom line is to be careful no matter what and be aware of what's going on in your surroundings. And then after you take the hits, you move forward. Simple as that.
Keep on moving forward.
And that's our horoscopes
for today.
Yeah, I overshot it.
A little bit. That's a little bit. I mean, it's
a little bit too much oomph behind it. A little bit too much oomph.
Ow, so. What? Oh, my water just fell on my knee.
Oh, that's not good. All right. Oh, hey, you've got the new sponsor there right in front of you?
Yes, I do.
All right. Well, we definitely need to talk about this. There we go. Well, of course, everybody, things are starting to open up slowly, and it seems that businesses everywhere will be needing some new signs.
Well, not just businesses, but how about bands needing new merchandise or companies needing new canopies for conventions?
Well, where does one go for printing merchandise? Simple. Go where we go. StrangerPrints.com.
StrangerPrints.com is the official merchandise printer for your weekly dose.
I'm so glad you got that right.
They do all of our shirts we give away, but that's not all they do.
No, they do so much more, like table covers, canopies, graduation signs and banners, regular banners, stickers, slip mats for DJs, backdrops, sports jerseys, and more.
So for all of your printing needs for merchandise, go where we go, Stranger Prints.
Yep, just go to StrangerPrints.com for more information and prices.
That's StrangerPrints.com, and tell them your weekly dose sent you. Peppy music.
I like that music, yeah.
Wow, it's kind of fun actually reading a real commercial.
I know people are kind of used to like us going like, you know, with something else.
Stranger Prince.
Yeah. Especially for considering the name, but do you have that listless moment where you don't feel so good?
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing.
Do you not feel fresh?
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing great except for this anal leakage.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm sorry to hear about that, Bob.
Well, I have to do something about it because I'm running out of underwear.
Have you tried duct tape and a cork?
You know, that's a great idea. I'm going to go home right now and give it a shot.
Duct tape and a cork. It's better than the pink stuff.
And a cork.
Yeah, that's normally what we do.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But so, no, we have an actual sponsor. So. Yeah. So,
and our total apologies to Stranger Prince if we came across flippant.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what we do have, though, is some tweets for you guys, because you know what? We just had the 4th of July. So let's read some 4th of July tweets.
And now, I have to say before we do this that this 4th of July was really weird this year over where I live in the area, Anaheim, there.
Yeah.
It was like everything was an explosion rather than fireworks.
Yeah.
It was so weird. It was like it really was like a war zone.
It's gotten that way, I think, more and more over the years. Mm-hmm. You know, people are bringing the illegal fireworks over.
Yeah, and things just blow up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go, hey, let's blow up that car. Well, let's start with the bottle first. You know.
Yeah, like I was in the bathroom and the window was open because I just got done taking a shower. And somebody in the next house over blew something up and I jumped a foot off the ground because it was right there outside the window. I'm like, whoa, shit.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go a different direction. Yo, while I was in the bathroom, I was blowing something up there.
Oh, boy, I hope they didn't hear that.
But, no, it's. I think in the last 10, 15 years, it's gotten worse. It really has.
Because,
it's
just a progressive thing, and then suddenly you're like, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, here we go. We got some tweets here for you. Let's see here. Oh, this is funny. Someone told me that they don't have the 4th of July in other countries. Seems kind of stupid to skip from 3rd to the 5th, but whatever.
Yeah, well, that's true. Okay, if dogs hate fireworks because they're afraid of symbolic displays of imperialism.
That's okay. Hey, it's a dog's perspective. It's a dog's perspective, you know.
Maybe they think more than we think they do.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, no, you read that one. Okay. Thanks to the brave actions of Jeff Goldblum and Will Smith, we can celebrate another hashtag Independence Day.
This 4th of July, please remember to leave fireworks to the experts. 10-year-old boys named Colton and Cody. Whoa.
100% of fireworks displays end up with someone's mom saying, is that it?
I hope for the family's sake he doesn't say that at other times. And don't forget to acknowledge the sad, untouched bowl of Ruffles chips left on an outside table.
That does happen from time to time.
It does. And correct me if I'm wrong, but if you accidentally leave a thing of chips out overnight, you get in the morning, you walk over, you try one.
You do.
To see what they take. And they're always like, ew.
They're stale.
But you always try one.
You got to try it. Let's see here. Friendly reminder, this 4th of July season, that no one wants to watch 200-second Snapchat stories on the firework display that you went to.
There you go. Ooh, see what I saw. So let me get this straight. On July 4th, one of the hottest days of the year, we're all going to sit outside of our air-conditioned homes and cook over a fire? Yes, son, we are.
That is so true. I never looked at it from that perspective before. Let's see here. Spread the patriotic spirit by telling the barista your name is USA and hiding. When they say your name, watch Starbucks go crazy.
USA! Woo!
There's a great bit that Craig Shoemaker says where he says, my name is Cock. Cock.
Cock.
Cock.
Cock.
You know, like the rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
Cock. And he did this with his wife.
Oh, no.
She goes, I got to come back here tomorrow morning. What are you doing? He goes, no, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. And the girl's going, Cock. Cock. I've got a big cock.
I got a vente cock.
I've got a vente cock, cock grande. Grande cock. Craig, though, goes, no, true story. Yeah. He actually did that with his wife and a Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, going,
dude, that's awesome, man. That's totally awesome. So, all right, here we go. And the last one here. Most people's 4th of July plans are really just what people do in Texas every day. eat barbecue, drink beer, and light the shit on fire.
You know, those things are fun.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are. So, and that is your tweets for the 4th of July. Alrighty. So, speaking of 4th of July, real quick, we got some time here in a little bit. Do you have any favorite 4th of July memories or moments in your life? Or?
I'm trying to remember. It just, you know, mostly I enjoyed watching the fireworks.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're a kid and you see all these things happening and mm-hmm. right in front of you, and it's a lot of fun. A lot of fun. It was a lot different when I was a kid than it is now. But,
yeah.
yeah, I don't think I'm into the 4th of July as much now as I was when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I like to have fun. I like to barbecue, get together with people, that kind of thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the fireworks become almost secondary.
Yeah. I know this year we didn't go and... I mean,
we just sat and talked, and
we had the opportunity because I live right near the Joint Air Force Base or the Joint Training Bases here in Los Alamitos. So, mm-hmm. you know, they have it every year. So it's, a 5-minute drive, if that, when we park.
Yeah, it's just a few blocks away.
Yeah,
right?
And then we just go over and go look. And, ooh,
along with everybody else sitting in the grass.
And you're going, oh, I wish we could hear the music with it, you know. and then go home, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we just decided to pass it up this year and just kind of sit back and talk. And
I think it was a good decision. We had a good time.
Yeah, we really did. For me, it's changed over the years, too. But I think for me, memories like you, I think as a kid having the fireworks in the driveway and then seeing your neighbors do it too and mm-hmm. kind of comparing and, you know, it's like, oh, they got a Piccolo Pete and, you know, or you get those little black things called snakes.
Yeah,
you know,
and snakes.
It didn't do shit. It just looked
like
this.
Made a big long
black thing,
poop thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's a big ass dump.
Boy, it just keeps coming out.
That was like me the other day. I ate all that roughage.
Whoa!
Oh man, all that salad.
Now I do have to say I'm thinking about it. You know, I had a really good time. In 2016, when I went and lived with my daughter
mm-hmm.
and family, they had the other daughter was there, and their community, they live in it's not an exclusive community, but it's a community neighborhood that was built like on a foothill.
Okay.
And it's like sort of enclosed because of the terrain and mm-hmm. everything. So
sure.
Anyway, what happened was that like four of the guys who live in the community went around to all the houses and asked, would you be interested in just donating like $50, $60 that you would probably spend on fireworks anyway?
Mm-hmm.
And all the neighborhood, all of the hundreds of homes use this pool to buy some really good fireworks because aerials were legal
right.
in Utah. So, and they did that.
That's
so they
cool.
had all this money, and they everybody met in the Central Park in this community, and where everybody's sitting there, you know, laughing, having fun, sitting in lawn chairs and stuff, and they're firing these fireworks up, and they had a lot of them too. I guess
they had
a lot of money, but it was so cool.
That's
because everybody, everybody was just sitting back having a good time. They didn't have to worry about safety. You know, it was just the people lighting them off for controlling it and
let them blow off their fingers instead of me. Yeah,
yeah. So
I'd pay $50 for that too.
Well, that'd be fun. Everybody donate to the hospital bill. So, but it was cool. It's just I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I remember that when I think of the 4th of July.
One of my favorite 4th of Julys. I must have been about, 12, 13, I think, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom had two girlfriends of hers from high school that she was really close to, Grace and Cookie. Her real name is Carol, but my Aunt Cookie. And Gracie had a daughter with her husband, Terry. Cookie had a daughter also with her husband, Pat, which is Jolie. And she's kind of like my sister to me.
Mm.
And then there was myself. And we're 3 years, I think 2 or 3 years apart. And Jolie was just one of these go-getter kind of girls, kind of dared you. Very tomboyish growing up, but very feminine at the same token. Mm-hmm. But very daring, liked to take risks and stuff. So she was bound and determined to learn how to stand on the old style jet skis, kind of a thing.
Okay.
You know, versus the ones that you sit down and ride on. Mm-hmm. So these are the old fashioned ones where you had to like crouch down on it and then you slowly stood up.
And it, right.
You know,
yeah.
kind of a thing. So she was bound and determined. And there was a couple of mornings, and this is out in Lake Havasu because Gracie and Terry had their retirement home out there. So we all went out there to meet them for the 4th of July. And Joel and I got up early, and we're kind of basically drag racing because the river was just so smooth, you know.
Right.
And kind of drag racing there and creating the waves and everything. And just we're having a good time, you know. Well, now it comes time for the fireworks. And so we're facing the water, and we can see across over to the, I guess it was the, I forgot what side we were on, but let's say the California side. We're looking at the California side.
Mm-hmm.
They're in Lake Havasu. And over to our right shoulder, so let's say, you know, if 12 o'clock is the river, probably about 4 o'clock or so, between 4 and 5 o'clock, is where they're shooting the fireworks, and it's going over the river. Basically, they're trying to shoot out that way. So, but there's this big sand dune that's blocking it, so we can't really see where the cannons are at, the tubes are at. But we know we're hearing them shoot from over there. All right. So we hear the music starts, ladies and gentlemen, blah 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 blah, 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 you know, and we hear. Goes off. Ooh. Oh. And we look over to our right shoulder, and we see all the fireworks are now being ignited off the ground. They're just exploding off the ground.
Mm.
And the whole thing just caught on fire.
No.
And next thing we see is now we see not just all the fireworks going off, all the aerials going off on the ground, but flames coming up at the same time. And the music is still playing over the loudspeakers.
Oh, yeah.
So now, as we're looking at it, so probably about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock or so, is London Bridge. Mm. And we see the fire trucks starting to come
get
over.
Across. Yeah, we got
trying to get over
on.
Here, what have you, you know, and put out the fire for the firework display. And that finally kind of gets done and subsided and everything, because now we see the smoke go from, you know, black to white. And as that is beginning to finish, we're now looking across the lake. There are two palm trees that now catch fire. You know, and just right next to each other.
Yeah.
And then, of course, 10 minutes later, we see the fire trucks go back across London Bridge.
Coming back. There we go.
It's like, oh, my God. That, to me, that is the most memorable 4th of July
I
think I will
that.
Ever have.
That's funny.
You know, but on that, like you said, it's just being that young kid, that small kid or whatever of just enjoying, you know, the fireworks with your neighbors and, you know, out on your driveway and everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, then your dad getting pissed the next day going, God damn, these stains, man. How are we going to get these off now?
Yeah, well the other one I remember, we were at my daughter's house, and we did them out on the street. And, you know, like, we all sat at the garage. It was open, and we're all sitting kind of in and out of the garage, and they're setting them off on the street beyond the driveway.
Right, right.
Well, the
street,
the street is on an angle. It's not flat. It's a hill. So they tried to build it up with pieces of wood and stuff to have a flat platform on it.
Okay.
So they lit an aerial, and the platform collapsed. It fell over, and it shot straight at me. I'm like, whoa, I go to move, and it bounced off my leg. And it hit Grandma Bonnie, who was standing next to me, scared the bejesus out of her.
I would think so.
It was so funny. She's like, you know, really, like, mid-'80s to 90. It was just like, holy crap, I've heard of that happening, but I've never actually seen it in person.
Oh, my
and,
God.
And then suddenly I realized everybody is just staring like,
are we okay? Are they okay?
And then people start coming running over. You guys are okay? And it just glanced off me, and it just brushed her. So it was like nobody got hurt or anything. But it was just that thing. You have that thing coming at you like it's in the movies. I guess, whoa, no.
I can just see it in slow motion, too.
I'd like to see that in slow motion.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, yeah. So you got some great memories, though, man. I mean, that's...
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, yeah. It's those silly things, those fun times or whatever, and that I think make all those good moments happen, especially during the 4th. You know, mm-hmm. But you know what also gives you a good moment?
Pina colada.
Exactly. Why won't it fire? There it is.
It's a song that
it is
the first few drum beats. Everybody knows what it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah. I was tired of my lady. We'd been together. All right. So today is actually Pina Colada Day. And I believe you got some fun facts on that.
I have some fun facts about Pina Colada.
All right. What are they, Stevie?
Well, the name translates to an ingredient in the drink. Pina means pineapple, and colada means strained.
Oh,
so
strained pineapple.
Pina colada translates to strained pineapple, a.k.a. fresh pineapple juice, an essential ingredient in the cocktail.
Makes more sense,
so
yeah.
So you want a pina colada, you got to have pineapple juice.
Right. So next time going to a restaurant, ask for, I'll have a strained pineapple.
Yeah. There you go. Now, it took 3 months to perfect. The origins of the pina colada are contested, but the widely accepted version of the story says that it was created on August 16, 1954 by Ramon Monchita Marrero.
Ooh, roll those R's.
A bartender at the Caribe Hilton Beachcomber Bar in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Where did that come from? Anyway, the hotel asked Marrero to come up with a new signature mixed drink, and after 3 intense months of, you know, actually taking a bath in pineapple juice, the pina colada was born. Now, maybe a pirate first made it. According to the cocktail legend, Marrero may not have been the first person to combine coconut, pineapple, and white rum. I would seem like if it was 1954, somebody would have done it before that. Ooh. Is that one of our fans?
Yeah.
Puerto Rican pirate Robert Cofresi is said to have served his crew the mix in the early 1800s in order to boost morale. Well, that'll do it.
Heck yeah.
Here, drink some more of this juice. Boy, I feel good. Now, there are many variations. A few of the more notable pina colada riffs include the Iguana Colada, made with Midori, Miami Vice, half strawberry daiquiri, half pina colada, and the Jackolada.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
Yeah, we better clarify this. Mad with one half part, made with one half part. Jack Daniels and one half part white rum.
Wow.
So, yeah, that'll be a good. This is strong.
Wow. Yeah, especially if you got Jack Daniels in there.
Yeah. Now, there almost wasn't a pina colada song. Escape, the famous song from Rupert Holmes, more commonly known as the pina colada song, which is playing in the background, nearly left out any mention of the cocktail. The original lyrics were, if you like Humphrey Bogart and getting caught in the rain.
Yep, true story.
Luckily, Holmes changed them at the last moment. And pina colada is the national drink of Puerto Rico, a U.S. state since 1978. I guess they adopted it or something. Traditional pina colada with rum, coconut cream, and pineapple juice. Makes my mouth water. Can have as many as 650 calories.
Oh, God.
And lastly, thanks to Tiki Culture, Pina Colada is one of the few cocktails that can be served fresh inside a cut pineapple or a fresh coconut shell. And I guess there are places where they do that.
Yeah.
So there you go. Everything you ever wanted to know about Pina Colada. I would say there's absolutely nothing else to know about Pina Colada
that... It hasn't been said already.
It hasn't been said. It wasn't on that page.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's exactly as long as the song, so now you know.
There we go.
So I got something that we got a little bit of time. And if we do go over time today, just for the affiliates to know, if we do go over a little bit, we will just go ahead and cut the feed. But if you still want to continue to listen to the show, just jump on yourweeklydose.com. We're going to continue on there. So just let you guys know. So we got about, 10, 14 minutes left, I think, or so.
Yeah.
This is really interesting. And I want to get your take on it, Steve.
Okay.
A teenager blown away by parents' outrageous rent payment request. Here's the story. An 18-year-old is struggling with the decision to move out of his parents' house. I mean, this is something that we all think about, you know, as young as we are at that time. Hey, I'm 18. I can do what I want, blah, 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 you know. But this teenager explained his situation on a Reddit group called Am I the A-Hole Forum. He says he's going to be starting college soon, and he said before his 18th birthday over a month ago, his parents started talking to him on how they expected him to pay for rent and half the bills if he decided to still live at home.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that wasn't the problem. The issue was they were expecting him to pay $1,300 a month, okay, for his tiny room that he shares with his little brother, not including half of the bills they expected him to pay. Now, the parents, I guess, got this number because most of the apartments in the surrounding area are around that range. But he goes, that's for a whole apartment, not a single bedroom, plus sharing space with everyone else. Most of his paycheck would just go to rent. He told his parents, you know, I don't have a problem with helping with the bills and paying for my room if they made the rent lower. They said, well, that's how much they agreed upon and everything, so that's what he would have to pay if he wanted to stay living at home. He accepted their terms, and he decided to move out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But his parents now didn't like the fact that he was moving out.
Hey, that's because parents are idiots.
He said, he goes, fine. I found and talked to one of my friends and already knew that he had his own place and he was looking for a new roommate for the last 3 months. He ended up going with his friend and added him to the lease.
Mm-hmm.
So now he has his own room, his own bathroom, plus the total for rent and half the bills, you know, which is way less than the rent by itself that his parents expected him to pay.
Right.
The thing is that now his parents are super mad at him for leaving.
Hey.
My mom ignored me when I moved out. My dad kept saying how he was so disappointed in me for a while that they were hoping to rely on me with helping of their mortgage. My payments on the house also with the bills. So now I've chosen to leave. My dad says I'm going to leave them really struggling, and he can't believe I decided to be selfish instead of helping my family out.
Boy, did those parents go about it the wrong way.
Reddick thought the teenager made the right move.
Yes.
Other people, this is what a few other people said, for a parent to try and charge their barely legal and adult son the amount of money for his freaking childhood bedroom is outrageous. It's an absurd amount of money to pay for a shared bedroom. And the last one is they really shot themselves in the foot with their greed.
Yes, that's true.
What's your take on it, Steve?
I think he did the right thing because it costs him less and nobody can tell him what to do or what not to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's his own life and he's an adult, so.
Yeah, most states, 18 years or older is the legal age in most states. Some it's 16, majority of the...
it's usually 18.
You're 18 or older, yeah.
See, I think the parents really screwed up. You know, they should have sat him down and said, okay, here's the situation. And instead of just going, you have to pay this without any explanation,
mm-hmm.
was really stupid. They should have sat him down and said, okay, we're kind of struggling a little bit with making the house payment, so we would like to see if there's an amount of money you feel comfortable with to help us out, and what we're going to do is put that amount of money toward the equity in the house. And then if we ever sell or anything, we'll pay you back a certain percentage, you know, maybe not all of it, but you know what I mean?
Right.
Like half of what you put in, we'll give you back if we sell the house. And said, you know, we're thinking anywhere between, you know, and give a low number and the 1300 number. And work something out, because if I'm sitting there in a room I share with my brother, my first response was, is he going to come up with half the rent? We share the room.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they just did the wrong thing. And then they got burned by it, and they think, well, then he's in the wrong because he didn't help us. But he didn't know
the situation.
He was needed
right
to help them.
Exactly. You know, the whole thing about charging your kids to live at home, I personally have never understood it. I know some families do it for whatever reason, you know. My family never did that. My parents said, as long as you live at home, you know. It's home, period. No matter what, you know.
Not like you found your parents on Craigslist or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I've just never understood it. And as long as that I'm home, they'll help take care of me. Now, I was somewhat independent, and my parents would help me from time to time as I got older. But I pretty much put myself through college. I was, you know, I was working at Knott's Berry Farm at the time. And it was for a young kid at that age, 18, 19, 20 years old, it was good money for what I was doing.
Right.
You know, it was good money. I saved up. I got things that I wanted to get. It paid for my gas. It paid, you know, my parents paid for my insurance, my car insurance. You know, but I paid for my gas. I paid for certain repairs at times, you know. And if it was a little expensive, my parents would help me out, though. But then I would always try and pay back, you know, hey, Dad, here's $200-$300 or whatever, you know, to help out with the repair. The repair could have been, you know, $600, but I'd give half. And it was always up to my dad or my mom to say, no, mijo, it's okay. You know, but at least I offered it to my parents, you know, but. To me, that's what a parent is supposed to do. You're supposed to help take care of your kids.
Yeah, if you don't demand things, people are not going to say no.
Right.
Because it's a demand. You know, if you talk to somebody, negotiate with somebody, explain the situation.
What's the situation, yeah.
Explain the situation, you know, honestly, instead of thinking, I'm the parent, I'll tell them what to do.
Yeah. Now, I can understand to a degree where they're going to say, hey, you're getting older. We want to teach you a money lesson kind of a thing. So you're working. Here's what we're going to do. Now, we're going to pretend that basically you're renting the room from us now that you've been living free for the last 18 years, which is really stupid. But we want to help you to grow a nest egg kind of a thing.
Right.
So we're going to say maybe $150, $200 a month to pay for rent or whatever. And we're going to put that away in, you know, an Roth IRA or something or whatever to help you. So that way you learn how to take part of your paycheck and put aside some money for a future use. To me, that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to say, okay, you're 18. Now that you lived here for 18 years free, you're going to start paying because we're fucked up because we don't know how to manage our own money.
Yeah.
I'm not
for that. I'm not for that at all, I think. But to me also, it's like everything else in life. What are the parents teaching these kids at like 5, 6, and 7 about money? Are they really, you know, teaching them anything? And usually they're not.
No.
It's the same thing with sex. You know, you don't teach kids and preteens and stuff about sex. But then suddenly you're like, well, this and this and this, and they know nothing about it. It doesn't make sense. And the same thing with money. You know, if you haven't been teaching your kids to be responsible about money, not forcing them, but just teaching them, mm-hmm. well, this is it. We're at the store today. I have $10. I'm going to let you have $2 of it, but that's all you have.
Right.
So, you know, if you want to buy something, it has to be $2. And that way they learn things have a price, and when you have a certain amount of money and you want something, you either pay the price or you don't get it. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, yeah, same thing kind of happened to me. They were suddenly were like, well, you're working, you're going to pay rent. And I'm like, or else you can move out. And so I had a friend that had an apartment. I moved out and lived with him. Mm-hmm. And then a couple weeks later, they were like, no, move back home, move back home. I was couldn't figure out why they wanted me to move back home, but okay, I did. You know, and then as things came up in the future, and it was like, you know, years later, not necessarily right away, but I helped them out when they really needed it.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that if you just demand people to do something, odds are they're not going to do it, or they're not going to feel good about doing it.
Right. Right. Okay, just to let everybody else know real quick, with our affiliates, we're going to be cutting the feed here in a few moments, so we just want to say thank you right now. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Find us on Facebook at Your Weekly Dose. Twitter page is at Your Weekly Dose 1. And, of course, don't forget, you can listen to our past shows on Delmarva Talk Radio at 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings. And, of course, on our other affiliate, Lime City Radio, starting at noon from Wednesday through Fridays. And, of course, we are live with them both every Saturday afternoon at 1 p.m. So we do want to thank you. And until next week, we will catch you guys. Be good to each other. For everybody else that's want to continue to listen to the show, go ahead and switch over to yourweeklydose.com. And that way you can hear the continuation of the show. So until next week, take care of each other, guys.
Bye.
All right. So, okay, we just got the feed right now for our affiliates. So we're good there. Yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's I just never understood it, you know, and especially yeah, being neither. Brought up in well, you're a little bit different because of your dad. But in a Latino family, it's like everybody works together. Everybody helps everybody out no matter what.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the way it kind of should be, you know.
I agree.
And, of course, in a Latino family, the tradition thing is you stay home until you get married, and even sometimes then you come back home because, you know, sometimes the house is a timeshare. So it just depends, you know, on what the situation is. But to say you're going to do this or you're going to be because you're now 18.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're no longer a member of the family.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and from a parent to another, I've never understood that. And you're right. You what are you teaching your kids? You know, and when are you teaching your kids about money? And I know you help us out with my son Roman. You bring over your beer bottles.
Yeah, beer bottles and plastic bottles. Yeah.
And you know. It's just to show him, okay, if we recycle, we're going to get this money. And that money for recycling, he gets to keep, which is really ridiculous because, you know, I pay you $11 plus the 5 cents on each bottle, you know, when I go to the supermarket. But that's beside the point. But he now gets that, you know, and goes, okay, I can now save it or spend it on something else or whatever. Mm-hmm. Recently, he spilt water on the laptop. I was none too happy. Now, thankfully, this was not the laptop, the main laptop that we use for the show. This was a secondary laptop that we use for the show. But, you know, I got to give credit to my son. I came into the house after doing a couple of errands. He comes slowly walking down the stairs, step by step, fearing what dad is going to say. And we all have that fear of what dad's going to say. And he told me, I spilled water on the laptop. You know, I said, okay, what have you done so far? And he tried to get it out and get the hair dryer in there and what have you and so forth. And okay, fine. All right. Yeah. And I told him, I said, okay, just go away right now. Let me deal with being upset. Thank you for telling me.
Yeah.
First of all, right away, you know, I came into the, you know, stepped foot in the house right away, told me, thank you. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't as angry if he didn't tell me, you know, whatever.
Yeah, later you go, what's wrong with his laptop?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, Dad, I plugged it in or whatever, spilled water on it, and I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
You know, but he right away told me. So, okay, fine. I said, okay, just go away, leave me alone, let me deal with it in my head. Okay, Dad. You know, that, oh, I fucked up. But afterwards or whatever, it was like, okay, now it's time to go get it fixed. And granted, we kind of, what's the word I'm looking for, drug our heels a little bit on taking it, because I had watched some videos and saying, okay, if you do this, if you do that, right, whatever, it may come back. And it did. And it started to work okay. But then this went down, and then internet wasn't working, and then I was like, so other stuff was in there. All right, so we took it. So I took it to this place nearby, and they basically had to put a new motherboard in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it ran me, I think, like $200 some odd or whatever to put a new motherboard in it. And the guy checked it out, and it was going to be a lot cheaper. He goes, oh, I can run this. Run it with this or whatever, and, you know, we can get around the Wi-Fi if I just give you this, and it'll be like, you know, $80 or something like that. Okay. Well, he was trying to reboot it and everything, and it wasn't rebooting. So then he took a deeper look at it and said, Sean, let me take a deeper look and find out what's going on. And as he opened up where the motherboard is, he found more water was there, and there was water damage and everything. Okay. All right. Okay. So what's the scoop? Well, it's going to cost you this much now. All right. So came back, a little upset. Just to let you know, son, this is how much it's going to... Well, I've got a couple of hundred, Dad, if you want, or whatever. He offered. I said, you know what? It's okay. Thank you for offering. I said, but you knew... But now you know that this could have been prevented. Because that was the first thing I asked him. I said, was this truly an accident, or could it have been something that could have been prevented? He goes, no, it could have been prevented. I said, okay. So, again, told me the truth, whatever.
Yeah.
Let it go. He learned his lesson. Bottom line, I don't need to go any deeper than that.
Yeah.
You know, he's already got the guilt trip. He's already got everything else going. I don't need to go anything. You know, came back, hey, just to let you know, this is how much it cost us now, so you got to be careful with it. Well, if you want, Dad, I'll give you a couple of hundred.
Yeah,
it's okay. Hold on to that for your other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I may need it for the massage lady later on. I don't know. But there you go. Know. Yeah. You know. But, you know, but at least.
Let's get our priorities straight.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, Dad's feeling a little kink, you know. Yeah. But, and I'm wearing white on Friday. But, but at least. I know I'm raising my son right, because he's doing this whole thing with the saving the bottles and stuff. He's saving his money, spending what he wants to spend. And he's able to realize, hey, I can spend it here or spend it there or whatever, you know. Dad, I can help out. And he's done that more than one occasion. So that tells me, as a parent, I'm doing something right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. And will I charge him rent? No. You know, his girlfriend that he brings over, maybe, I don't know, it's something totally different, you know.
Yeah.
You know, especially if she stays here with him, you know. But other than that, nah. I mean, because at some point, too, this house is going to be his house.
Right.
You know, and I told him that. I said, you know, because when my mom, you know, passes on, I'm going to inherit that house.
Mm-hmm.
When Karen's folks pass on, we're going to inherit that house.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in not getting into details, but, you know, my father-in-law asked me recently, you know, are you interested? Yeah. Yes, absolutely. I have plans.
Absolutely.
You know, I have plans for these different homes.
Mm-hmm.
But in if and when that time comes, we'll make those changes and those moves and everything. But I told Roman, this, if you want, depending on what college you want to go to, this will be your home. You'll get the big bedroom. It's already paid for. You know, but if you want two roommates, charge them.
Yeah.
You know, charge them $500 apiece or $600 apiece or whatever, fair market value, whatever you want. Now he's got an income.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, now you've got something extra that you can work off of and your regular job. So it works out. He's the one who's really going to benefit from everything.
Well, yeah.
You know, but at least we're teaching him those things, you know.
Yeah, but that's the thing. You can't just suddenly go, oh, today we're going to teach you about this.
Mm-hmm.
That's too late.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that you have to practice yourself. It's like teaching a kid, you know, to say please and thank you,
mm-hmm.
or to not swear. Most kids learn how to swear because that's what they hear from their parents.
Right.
And their parents don't understand why they don't say please and thank you. But if you sit around listening, they don't say it themselves when they tell a kid what to do.
All right, guys. Well, let's move on. Should we do what's news?
Why not?
All right.
What's news, pussycat?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What's news, pussycat?
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We got some 4 stories here that are just little quick, short ones, man. They are really interesting. This one here is called The Lowest High There Is. There was a trio of drug thieves, and it was their lucky day, darn it. Yes, these dumb criminals broke into a home in Silver Springs, Florida. Leave it to Florida. And discovered 3 jars of cocaine. Lucky them.
What a find.
Yep, they took it home and snorted the contents of all 3 jars of the cocaine. That's when they actually discovered that the jars were, in fact, urns. Yep, that they were snorting the cremains of the victim's husband and her 2 dogs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that one deserves a... Yeah.
I wonder how the husband made them feel when they were...
Formito Popan.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what they got from the dog.
That's what they got from the dog, exactly.
Okay, the Telltale Trousers.
Uh-oh.
When an attempted robbery at a Lowe's home improvement store went awry, Milton J. Hodges fled across the street and jumped the fence right into the Cypress Cove Nudist Resort and Spa.
There they don't have to wear white.
That's right. As the Orlando Sentinel pointed out, as one of the only folks wearing clothes, Hodges was easily spotted by the police. All right, where? Oh, there you are.
This one says, P.S., nobody move. It's the worst possible time to faint in the middle of robbing a bank. Good God, man.
Well, it's a stressful thing to rob a bank.
Have you ever seen... Gabriel Iglesias talk about the East Indian guys robbing a bank?
I don't remember.
It's funny. But anyway, okay, so yeah, so in the middle of robbing a bank, you faint. Okay, but that's what happened to a Beaver Creek, Ohio thief. Welcome to Ohio. The teller called 911 and asked for medics, but you got to applaud the guy, apparently, to sticking to his... liveliness of the whole thing.
Strictuitiveness,
is that what it is?
That's
all right.
Yeah.
While the ambulance was en route, the suspect actually handed a note to the teller demanding all of her cash. I'm dying, but fill her up.
I think I would not do that.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I think this one's funny, and it's called Parlez-vous Idiot.
Okay.
The victim's jewelry was missing. The electronics were gone. And a window was smashed. No. No wonder she was hysterical when Officer Sharanjit Meharu of the Calgary Police alive. I just change that reversion.
There's so many wrong things. We'll say, hey, the police are here.
Yeah, police. It's Calgary police arrived, and then her French-speaking father called, Well, so now she's talking on the phone in front of the cops, but she's speaking in French. Mm-hmm. And she explained to her father that it was all a scam in order to get the insurance money. What she didn't suspect was that Officer Meharu speaks six languages, including French. Oh, my God. I mean, you're in Canada. You got to figure everybody speaks French.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. That's just, yeah. Stupid, stupid. I remember when Jay Leno would read headlines, and his favorite thing was stupid criminals.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Just,
people
it's so
do
good.
Dumb things, but I guess they're dumb enough to be a criminal. And
yeah, pretty much.
They're not exactly a brain trust.
And that's what's news.
What's news? What's a cat?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
What's news? What's a cat? Whoa, whoa,
whoa.
Pussycat pussy.
Alrighty, guys. Well, that wraps up the show for today. We appreciate you guys joining us and sticking it out with us.
It just felt funny today. I mean, it was good.
It was
good. I had fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
absolutely.
It's different right now.
Yeah.
And,
actually, I kind of liked it.
Ain't bad.
Yeah. Alrighty, guys. Well, once again, show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, find us at Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram, find us at Your Weekly Dose 1.
You can find me on Facebook, Steve Silva. On Twitter, it's at SilvaLining69.
And if you want to find me, Sean, on any of the social media, you're going to look under Sean R. Unplugged. Simple as that. And that's all over Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook page, everywhere. See? Yeah. Yeah, that's where you're going to find me. Yeah, all over Sean R. Unplugged. Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
See?
Anyway, see? Ah. It's curtains for you, Muggsy. It's curtains.
Ah, it's you ain't taking me alive, Papa.
Ah, they're adorable. That's my favorite part of that. All right, guys. Also, to our affiliates, don't forget, you can listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon from Wednesday through Friday, and of course every Saturday at 1 o'clock on our affiliates, and of course here on the West Coast we are at 10 a.m.
I just realized you have to say Lime City carefully.
I do.
Lime City instead of making an SH sound.
Yeah.
By accident.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So next week, we do have a guest, though.
Ooh.
Yes, that is going to be Prince Fleet. He's an interesting gentleman.
Say that again.
Prince Fleet.
Prince Fleet.
Yes, he is a wonderful entertainer that I get a chance to work with, actually, coming up. And I'll explain more of that next week. But we will be interviewing him. And his background and everything and how he came to be one of the most popular entertainers in Palm Springs among celebrities.
Wow.
So that's going to be a lot of fun. So once again, guys, until then, be good to each other, and we'll catch you next week.
Be honest, world.
Listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon. Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.